hockey and lacrosse at Connecticut College, a small liberal arts school in New London, Connecticut. I play in the very competitive NESCAC. You know, usually Bowdoin or Middlebury, one of those teams always usually come out and have a pretty good run of the Division III national championship. After college, I went in the Marine Corps for 4.5 years, served as an infantry officer, stationed down in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina for most of my time there. You know, all throughout the Marine Corps, kind of kept in touch with hockey. You know, always wanted to try to return to it one day. And then when I got out of the Marine Corps, you go through this adjustment period of you know, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Yeah. And, you know, there's, you know, a lot of uncertainty that goes along with that. And, you know, I just decided to kind of go back into hockey, and I had a couple other opportunities, but, you know, really wanted to kind of go for something that I loved and that I was passionate about. And, so I wound up, reconnecting with an old friend that we had started a junior program with, the New Jersey Rockets, prior to when I went in the Marine Corps. And, you know, the program had gotten a lot bigger and a lot more nationally known at the time. And so I went back to work for him as an assistant coach, and while I was getting my master's degree at Columbia University. So I wound up working out pretty well. And also during that time did some amateur scouting work for the New York Islanders, helping them with some local talent, and you know, helping organize their development camps in the summer. And then I guess it would have been the summer of 2012, at the end of the season, they did some reorganization of their coaching staff, and a second assistant position opened up in the American League. And I had asked to interview for it, and got it, and you know, kind of away I went.
Bridgeport.
Yep.
And Bridgeport, I always think of Kevin Churchman. Did you work with Kevin?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to work for Church, I should say, all of the 2000, his first full year pro. So right after Lake State, he went up to the island for, I think he played about 20 games for the Islanders that season. And then his next year would have been 2014, 2015, so last season, his first full year pro. We had him in Bridgeport for probably about three quarters of the year. Just an unbelievable kid. Works for everything he gets, and he had a really, really good you know, good year in Bridgeport. And then, you know, unfortunately, we didn't make the playoffs in Bridgeport last year, so we wound up sending some of our higher profile, you know, NHL guys that weren't going to get an opportunity to play playoff hockey in the American Hockey League, send them down to the East Coast League to have a good taste of playoff professional playoff hockey. And so he was one of the ones that we sent down there.
Yeah, is that Florida? Is that?
Yeah, we sent him to Florida Everblades in the East Coast League, and the head coach there, Greg Poss, and the assistant coach Tato had, who actually had played with at Conn, do an unbelievable job down there. They have a great setup, and they had a pretty good run. I think they lost in the semifinals. And like I said, I actually just spoke to him about a week before I came out here, and, you know, they had a couple of three overtime games, and that's experience that, you know, he's going to bring to, you know, the American League this year, or if he's up in the NHL. I mean, pro hockey, you know, playoff pro hockey is playoff pro hockey. So it's good to win at every level.
Yeah. And it's interesting to have, you know, you're in the college game now. It's different than pro hockey, obviously. The pro end of it is business. Everything's hockey. It's hockey, hockey, hockey all the time. Explain for folks who may not know all the intricacies there, what really is different between being an assistant coach in Bridgeport and coming to Lake Superior State?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, especially in the American League and then in the East Coast League. I mean, it is hockey all the time, but at the same time, there's a large amount of administrative, you know, work that you do as a coach in the AHL, or certainly in the East Coast League. You know, it's not like the NHL where you have an administrative assistant or a staff that handles a lot of the hockey operations side of it. You know, so for us in the American League, you know, I not only, you know, was I in charge of, you know, the practice plans and the drills and some of, you know, some of the systems, but, you know, off the ice, in terms of like the bus schedule and handling all of the AHL contracts at the AHL Central Registry, you know, I did all that kind of stuff as well. And then our other assistant coach, Eric Boganicki, you know, he did all the meal plans and, you know, all the hotels for the guys. So there is, you know, a fair amount of administrative work that goes into it. You know, I'll say the biggest difference between the pro and college is obviously the recruiting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were fortunate, you know, working for the New York Islanders that we got to get out a little bit during the year, and watch some AHL games and have a little bit of impact, on, you know, future players, you know, and also we were right next to Yale and Quinnipiac. So we would try to get out a little bit, a little tough when you're playing 76 games.
Yeah.
But we'd try to get out, you know, before our season started, or if we had a Friday night off to kind of go and watch some of those college guys. So, but definitely the recruiting aspect. I mean, you're on the phone. I'm on the phone pretty much the entire day with, you know, junior coaches or, you know, potential recruits, you know, trying to get a feel for where they are and you know, trying to have a good impact on our future players.
Now, with the college game, there are a lot of similarities there then. Certainly you and Rich spend a lot of time, every time I look at one of you two guys, you're on the phone. But and there's a lot of looking at film when we're on buses, et cetera. We're looking at junior players and looking for somebody who might be able to help us. Are we at a point now at Lake Superior State where we actually, our goal in recruiting is refined to where we're looking for position players now instead of the best player available, or is it kind of a combination of both?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. I think you always want, you know, the best player available. You know, but Peter and Rich did such an unbelievable job last year of, of bringing in impact players at the college level that we're in a really good spot right now. So our needs are really minimal. And so I think we can be really refined in what we're looking for in terms of, you know, a player to bring in, because we're so, we have so many players in the pipeline, potential players in the pipeline. So, I mean, I think that, like I said, they deserve a ton of credit. And I think now we can kind of get into more of the player development side of it, of, you know, working with the guys that we have here, making them better. And then, you know, when the new student athletes arrive on campus again, you know, working with them, you know, from the start and really refining their game. But like I said, you know, Peter and Rich did such an unbelievable job last year, that, you know, we're really in a good spot.
No, obviously, then you're fairly impressed as the new guy with the team, with the talent level that we have here. You kind of like a lot of these guys, and they're good to work with. They're coachable.
Yeah, absolutely. They're extremely receptive to, you know, a lot of the new concepts and new ideas that we're bringing in. You know, I think that there was some, you know, there's some learning that goes on. Whenever you bring in some new ideas and new concepts, and, you know, if it's not what they've been, you know, been taught, you know, all through youth and midget and junior hockey, and certainly even last year, there's some new ideas. There's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of, you know, I don't want to say pain, but a little bit of, you know, uncertainty and a little bit of growth that needs to happen to adjust to the new style of play, and some new concepts, but they've been, you know, they've been really receptive to a lot of the different things that, mm-hmm. that we're bringing in as a staff.
Now, you know, before we get away from who Doug Holava is as a person, I want to get into family a little bit. You are married. You do have a little guy that's going to be coming here. Explain for our listeners who don't know anything about you, what's going on with your family life and where you're living right now and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm living in the college dorms right now. So, you know, that's always a really good experience. No, I'm actually really lucky. You know, I think Damon really did a nice thing and set me up to live in one of the towers with our strength coach, Tyler. So, you know, me and him and, you know, we're in there with a couple of visiting professors from China, I believe. You know, Tyler is certainly acclimating them to life here in the States. But yeah, that's where I'm living now. We just bought a house in the Sioux. My wife saw it via FaceTime. So, you know.
Is that a good move, buy a house your wife has never seen? Is that a good move?
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't really have a choice now. but they're coming up. So her family, actually, she grew up in Canton, Michigan, for a good part of her childhood. And then her grandmother is originally from Marquette.
Got a UP connection.
Yeah, some significant ties. Actually, the third day that I was on campus here, her grandmother and pretty much her whole family drove right past the Sioux. So they're up this way a ton. And then, so her family currently resides right outside Toledo, Ohio, in Waterville. So it's about a 4 hour and about 45 minute drive straight down 75. So my wife, Kelly, and my son, Aiden, will be here at the end of the month. My wife's coming up next week to look at the house that we just bought, and kind of get acclimated, and then she's going to go back down and move. So it's her job to pack up the whole house and meet us out here pretty much.
Yeah,
so.
Nice job. Good yeah. Good job with that one. Yeah. Okay, so now let's talk more about the coaching end of things and the hockey. This past weekend, we made a trip to Maine. I mean, you come in here and right away we're going right back where you're from.
Yeah.
I mean, you were the one guy who had been to Portland, Maine many times. You were kind of the guy we all relied on to tell us what it was like. And I thought things went really well other than the hockey end of it. We lost 2 games, 5-2 to a very good North Dakota team. 4-1 a game, the score was probably not indicative of the play in the Michigan State game, but 2 defeats nonetheless, so how do we react to that at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, looking at it, we played, I'd say, you know, 5 really good periods of hockey. You know, I think that even in the North Dakota game, I'm not really sure that score is indicative. I mean, we go into the locker room after the second period, and I think it was, you know, 3-2 at the time, or
it was.
You know what I mean? And so you're going in a one goal deficit going into the third period against North Dakota, where, you know, you have a couple of goals disallowed. And then, you know, Michigan State, again, those first two periods, just like you alluded to, I think that we were really controlled and dictated the play. So I think you can, you know, be okay with how you played, certainly not okay with the outcome. It is a process, you know, and I think at the end of the day, you just got to find a way to score a goal. You got to find a way to, and every goalie is good in this league. We have a great one, but you're going to face, you know, good to great goaltending every night in this league, and you got to find a way to finish some pucks off.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was thinking about that. We talked about it ad nauseum on Saturday the kid playing goal for Michigan State is a good one, and he is. He's a very good goaltender, and he's a senior now. But we're going to see a lot of good goaltenders. Bemidji State has a high-end goaltender. We've got a good goaltender. I think everybody's got, at this level, has pretty decent net mining. So you really can't fall back too much on that. You got to develop a culture of winning, and that's the key. And you guys have talked about that several times already early this season.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, again, if we look at, you know, the last, you know, couple of years of, you know, with the New York Islanders and certainly in Bridgeport, I mean, you've taken a really, really young team, just like here at Lake State, you know, a really young team, you know, you're going to, you know, maybe take some lumps and learn how to win and develop a good process. And then when you do develop those kids, you're going to have some success. And like I said, I think that, you know, the New York Islanders are kind of reaping the reward of that right now. And I think certainly it's the same sort of process here at Lake State where, you know, you're going to compete with pace, you're going to compete with work ethic, and you're going to learn to win. You know, and like I said, you're going to reap the rewards of that, you know, through time.
Yeah, and, you know, the critics of us right now are saying, well, same old story, Lake Superior goes out east, loses 2 games. But I don't think, I would say that this team is way ahead of where it was a year ago right now with the ability to play and with the quality of athletes we have in the lineup. But I think it's going to be a, you know, you got to realize as fans that the coaching staff has had minimal work at this point with these players. We had last week, what, 3 days and got on a plane and went to Maine.
Yeah, no, I think it was after that national team development program game. That was the first week, you know, of practice, first full week of practice that we were able to have. And, you know, again, I mean, every team is in that situation. So, like I said, you know, as a core group of players, you know, you just got to find a way. You know, find a way to bury pucks, and, you know, find a way to win, like you said.
Yeah, I should remind everybody, especially the fans who are with us here at the building tonight, Damon Witten is going to join us in the second half of the show. And if you have any questions for Doug or for Damon, we've sent the pad around out here. Write down anything you want, and we'll deal with that in the second half of the show. If we have to, we'll get Doug to come back on. But I think Austin McKay is going to join us here for about 10 minutes here in a few minutes. But we want to continue to talk to Doug about, at this point, Doug, everything's kind of brand new to you with what we're trying to do and where we're going, and you've had a lot of meetings with Damon and with Rich, and I think you're acclimating really quickly.
Yeah, I think, you know, Damon and Rich has certainly made it extremely easy to acclimate to the staff. I mean, I'm, you know, extremely impressed with the level of trust and confidence that that Damon has, you know, not only in Rich, but, you know, myself. And so just to come into a new environment where the staff has kind of been together, you know, for a year or even 2 years now at this point, to be the new guy, Damon has, you know, he's really made me feel welcome and to be a part of it. And, you know, even to the point where, you know, I'm just starting to you know, now, you know, really get comfortable with the names and the numbers, you know, as of like last week. And so, you know, to put the level of trust, like I said, that he has and, you know, buying into some of the systems that we're incorporating now is, I mean, it's pretty special as you know, for him to be able to do that.
Now, during games, do you each have sort of a role that you play? Like a lot of coaching staffs, one guy will take the offense, another guy will work with defensemen, and then maybe the head coach kind of worries about everything, and in between periods, he's the guy who does most of the talking. How do we split that up with this coaching staff?
Yeah, and again, I think, you know, Damon does an unbelievable job of delegating, you know, and you want to work for someone like that. You want to work for someone that pushes ownership down, but at the same time, you know, accepts responsibility for everything that goes on. And, you know, we certainly understand that at the end of the day, you know, it's his decision and whatever he says goes, but, you know, he does an unbelievable job of, like I said, getting buy-in from myself and Rich. When I think that's something that's pretty, you know, like I said, you want to work as hard as you can and you want to, you know, do whatever it takes for someone like that because of the level of confidence and trust that he has in you. So for myself, I try to work with the D. It's something that I worked with in Bridgeport over the last couple of years is working with the D, and we've had a lot of success, like I said, in developing some pretty impact, you know, NHL ready defensemen. So, you know, I try to really incorporate, you know, and work with those guys on the bench or in practice, and then, you know, Rich with his history of playing and, you know, kind of where he sees himself, I think he fits really, you know, great with the forwards. So I think that those are the kind of the areas that we try to, you know, concentrate on, but certainly there's overlapping and there's no, you know, stepping on someone's toes or, you know, hey, this is the D, so you have to, you know, so I think it's again,
that's your area.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a really special staff to be able to have that cohesiveness and unity.
Yeah, it's in one of the other areas where I've noticed you work very well together, the three of you, is that Damon relies on you and Rich a lot for input, even when it comes down to who's going to make a road trip, what players do we take, why do we want them. He wants you guys to come in and let him know what you think about that end of things so that we kind of get a definite agreement on who should be on the trip and who should be on the ice.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, that's the kind of guy that you want to work for, to be honest, and you want to have that ownership as an assistant coach. And I think it's, you know, we're here to develop players, right? You're here to develop hockey players, and you know, at the same time, you want to develop as a coach. And I think that working for someone like Damon really he allows you that freedom and that ownership. And like I said, you want to do, you know, your best, not just for the team, but for someone like that. That's putting that special trust and confidence in you.
I think our fans, not only those who are here with us tonight, but the fans listening in, really appreciate that. That's good input. And we're going to take a break here. We're way past time to take our first break, Doug, but good job with us. And we appreciate you joining us here tonight on the Laker Hockey Show.
I'm glad to be here. It's my first time here. It's pretty awesome.
As he looks around at all the animals. Yeah. But hey, Doug, thanks a lot for joining us. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more on the Laker Hockey Show. Austin McKay will join us right after this on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. It's second segment of our show tonight, and we want to thank Doug Holliver for joining us. Our first opportunity to have him join us at the Laker Hockey Show. He did a great job, I thought. We did have a couple of questions that kind of leaned in his direction, but we can ask Damon those when he comes on. Let him answer for his assistant coach. Right now, we're joined by the captain of the Lakers for 2015-16, Austin McKay, out of Toronto, Ontario. And I guess that's the first thing we should say is congratulations on the captaincy and also what that means to you to be the captain of the Lakers.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Well, it means a ton. I mean, I've been here, it's my fourth year. I've seen so many good players go through just in my time. You can look at the walls around our arena now, see all the NHLers that have come through the national championships. So it's a huge honor for sure, but I think more importantly, it's a big responsibility that I've tried to take very seriously.
You know, I think it's very interesting too, and I don't want this to be come across negative. It's not intended to be that way, but it's very interesting to me. It's, I think it says a lot about you as a person as well as a player that, you know, your first couple of years here, you didn't play a whole heck of a lot. You were kind of in the lineup, out of the lineup, and last year at the start of the season, I think two, three games into the season like this, like we are right now, you hadn't played yet. And you know, for you to come out there last year, I think once you got in the lineup, if I'm not mistaken, maybe the fourth game of the season,
third game, yeah.
I don't think you came out again after that, and you did so well with how you impressed the new coaching staff that you're the captain of the team this year. I think that says a lot about you.
Well, yeah, it's a big honor for sure, and what I tried to do kind of the first 2 years were tough, obviously. I kind of got a fresh shot with our new staff, and I just tried to, even through the first 2 years, you just try and get better every day. It's such a good environment to get better in college. You practice all the time, you work out, and I just feel like if you just keep believing in yourself and if you honestly try to get better every single day as a hockey player, it pays off in the end.
Yeah, and I think you're like living proof or whatever of that, but you and Eric Drapluck and Bryce Schmidt, you form the leadership cadre as it is for this team this year. They're the assistant captains. Draps is a senior like you, and so is Schmitty, and that's a pretty good crew because the personalities there are a little bit different, so you've got a little bit of everything there in those three guys.
Absolutely. I mean, Bryce, I've watched him for 3+ years now. He comes to the rink every day. He works hard, honest effort, and Eric's been a great player for us for three plus years. I'm proud of those guys. I'm proud of our whole class because our whole class, everyone's worked for everything they've ever got in this program. So it's a testament to those guys as well as our whole class for how hard we've worked from day one. And I'm really proud of those guys and my whole class.
Yeah, and it's a good crew too. Fans who know the players personally would certainly echo me on this one. There were three seniors who did not make the trip to Maine, but they're all great parts of this team. You got Daniel Vernacci, Pete Spratty, and Zach Lesh, and those are seniors who, that's the guys you're talking about.
Absolutely. I mean, and they're leaders every single day in practice, in the weight room. I mean, they're great, great guys to have on the team. Big parts of the team, no matter what. I can't say enough about their work ethic and their character over my entire time here, so I'm proud to be a part of the senior class with those guys.
Yeah, sure. And I think all three of those guys are going to see action here. If they don't this weekend, they're going to pretty soon here because this is a feeling out process. We've got a new assistant coach involved. Damon's only been around a little bit more than a year now, and we're working on all this sort of thing, trying to find what the right combinations are to turn this team into a big winner. It's right on the verge, I would say, after this past weekend of going in that direction. And you guys have got a lot to say about that. Do the coaches sit down with you and with Schmitty and with Eric Drapluck and talk about things that we need to do? And
well, there's kind of ongoing conversations between our whole senior class. We have a kind of a leadership committee as well that we kind of meets and talks about how we're doing things and making sure things are done the right way. And that's new this year, and I think it's been really good. But yeah, it's kind of just ongoing in terms of what we need to do. And I think that's key because you need to be able to communicate, and coaches tell the players what they want and players tell coaches their opinions, and the more communication, I feel like, the better.
Yeah, and it's interesting for you this year too, a little new twist of the whole thing. Your younger brother is a part of this team now.
Yeah, I was you got a chance to walk onto the team, and I tried to stay out of it as much as I could, you know what I mean? Obviously I was rooting for him, but I'm really proud of him. He worked so hard in the summer, always has, and worked hard to make the team, and I'm super proud of him. I'm appreciative of our staff for giving him a fair shot to make the team. And it's a pretty cool feeling to have your brother around for sure. I kind of forget sometimes and then I see him in the room, but it's a pretty cool feeling for sure.
Yeah, and he is part of this team now. You know, I kind of left him out last weekend when I was talking about the guys we left behind because there are a lot of players on this team this year. We have way more depth than we've had in the past. So I'll apologize to Brendan for that, but he's a big part of this team, and I'm sure he'll get some playing time this season. He's a freshman, came out of the Alberta League, same as you.
He did. He played in the Alberta League, and then the last year and a half, he was over in the Saskatchewan League. Our first SAS player since, I guess, Domit and Perot and those guys, but less scouted, I might say, is what what he kind of said. So, but again, it's great to have him here. Like, we were doing a drill today, and then he went ahead of me in line. And I was just like, holy smokes, that's Brennan. Like, you kind of forget sometimes that he's your brother because he's just on the team with everyone else. But it's a cool feeling, and I'm really proud of him for how hard he works.
Yeah, we haven't had a brother combination in a while on the Lakers, but it's great to have that going on right now. And that brings me just to talk a little bit about your dad, Barry, too. He's a super fan, that guy. He is everywhere. He was out in Maine with us. He's going to be here for a Saturday night at home against Northern, and he says he's going to drive over for Michigan State. So I guess he's planning on seeing every game he can.
He's definitely turned into a super fan. I don't know if he kind of got used to it over the first 3 years, but he knows everyone, talks way too much to everyone. But he loves being a part of the Laker family and the Blue Liners and everything like that. So he told me, and I think it was August or something like that, he said, I don't want to sound like a loser, but I already have all my hotels booked for the home weekends. But so he's been a huge part of my life, a huge part of my hockey career, always supported me, and I'm happy that he's enjoying the ride as well.
Is there a lot of optimism right now amongst the players, like there is the fans and the coaching staff, that this team is going to gel into something pretty good before the season's halfway over?
100%. I mean, we played Friday night. We played a really good team, and I thought we played for the most part really well. I mean, coach was just saying about what some of the comments their coach made about how they had a tough time with time and space on the ice and stuff like that. So I'm really excited about our team. We have to get better. We have to get better every day. It's kind of a message that we've tried to preach, but we got the players for sure, and I'm really excited about the direction we're going.
Yeah, it's interesting too. We hadn't played Michigan State since your freshman year. Yeah. When you guys started out, we were in the CCHA. Now we get to play them three times in 2 weeks' time. We go there a week from this weekend and play two games at Munn on a Thursday and a Friday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited to play Michigan State. It's obviously a CCHA old foe. They're obviously a well-known school. So those are always fun games to go to. I've never been there, so it's another school I got to go to. I'm really excited to play them. It's a big program, and hopefully we'll improve on our outcome.
Yeah, and I don't think, that game was 4-1 was not indicative of how that game went. That was tighter than that. We had a few defensive letdowns there. We let them get an empty net goal on us, but that was pretty even.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we were watching some of the video today. I mean, so many chances we had that just the puck wouldn't go in, and they got a bounce off one of our defensemen's stick on one of the goals, and their goalie played obviously very well. But like we were kind of saying, to those chances are going to go in eventually. If we keep getting them, then they're going to go in. I mean, it's you worry a little bit more if you're completely not getting a sniff. But we were there. We just got to put them in the net, and that'll come. So that's why it's exciting.
Now, let's switch the subject just for a moment. Student athletes, you're a hockey player, and that's probably the top thing to you, but you're also a student and you're a senior now. How's school going for you? What are you majoring in, and how has that experience been?
It's been great. I mean, when I came to Lake City, I've been 3 years out of school, and it's been a lot of fun. We got a great staff, and I've had a lot of fun actually learning. I didn't know if I'd be saying that 4 years ago when I got here, but I've had a lot of fun learning. I'm majoring in finance and economics. I'll get a double degree. I'll get a degree in business administration as well, because I had a few courses coming in to school. But it's been a great experience. I've learned a lot. You kind of have some of the same teachers because of our university size, so you kind of hear the same message a little bit, which reinforces it. You know what I mean? You don't take a course and then never hear that message again type thing. So I think that's been really beneficial as well.
That's interesting. That's a good point too. Maybe the academic people should use you to help recruit. But you know, you and Bryce Schmidt and Eric Drapluck, you're the leadership cadre, as we said here, for this team with the players end of it. Do you work with the freshmen at this point? Do you have words of wisdom for them about school? Because let's face it, a lot of these guys, your brother included, they haven't been in school for a few years. Some of them as long as 3 years, they haven't really taken any classes, and all of a sudden they got to get into the academic atmosphere again. It's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. And I mean, we kind of give them little tips about seeing your teachers, making sure they know that you're doing your best. You know what I mean? Because that's a big part of it. You got to put in the work. It's kind of the same thing with everything, I find. You kind of get what you put into it. So it's the same as school hockey. If you don't study for a test, it's always the people that didn't study for the test are saying, what a hard test. You know what I mean? So you just, if you don't put in the work, you don't get it. If you put in the work, you'll get the results.
Yeah, it sounds good. I think that's the right way to go about it. Austin, I want to thank you for joining us here tonight. We'll get you on again during the season. You do have class normally on Monday night, but there's no class today. It's midterm break or something.
Canadian Thanksgiving,
and it's Columbus Day. But it's good to have you here. I appreciate
very much
you joining me and joining us here at the Antlers, and we'll do this again.
Sounds good.
All right, Austin McKay, the captain of the Lakers this season, joining us here. And we're going to take a break. We'll be back. The head coach, Damon Witten's here. He'll join us right after this on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back for our third segment. This will be our final segment tonight. We'll catch up on spots as we come to the end of the show tonight. Great talking to Austin McKay and Doug Holova tonight. Very interesting concepts there from both of those gentlemen. And pretty easy, Damon, to see how Austin McKay is the leadership player among the student-athletes on this team. He's an outstanding young man. He's well-spoken, and he loves the team, and he loves Lake State.
Yeah, I mean, no question. His character shines through, and he's a great kid. You know, coached a lot of years now, and he's a guy I think that will always stand out as one of those kids that you just really, really enjoy coaching. And, you know, one of those types where, you know, my daughter's only 7 months old, but a gentleman. Very special person, has done a very good job. You know, he loves the game, he loves the team, and represents our program very well.
Yeah, outstanding. In fact, all these guys do. We were very impressed. You know, we always are. Laker hockey for years and years and years has been that way. These guys make a trip out to Maine. They got suits on the plane. They got suits on both ways, home and over there. And people talk about that. There were several people who said to us, this is a hockey team, you know. You guys are representing yourself very well. I heard that from a number of people in both Detroit Airport and in Portland. So that's good.
It is. It is. You know, we talk about, you know, we represent our families. We represent the program and the tradition that we have. And, you know, we talk about being the class of college hockey. We want to make sure everywhere we go, we represent our school in that manner. So the guys do a very good job. And, you know, certainly over the year, do that. Reflect as positively, but you know, for the most part on a day-to-day basis, our guys do a very good job of representing our program well. And that was reflected too on our way down. We stopped off in Frankenmuth, had a chance to have a meal with the McClellan family, and it was spectacular. It was a great job. We appreciate you know, the McClellans inviting us down there. Our guys did a great job, had a chance to present the family with a little bit of Laker swag. Zach got up and sang and kind of reintroduced the fight song to our program. It's something we like to get that tradition going again. Yeah, it was a really special night to spend that, and I believe it was Wednesday night with McClellan family and Frankenmuth.
Yeah, it was great. And if you don't know Zach McClellan, he's quite a personality. We would call him an all-star at the highest level. He doesn't mind. He's just a great young man who's doing a great job down there. He's got a lot of the business moxie that his dad had, and he's going to carry that on very, very well. But that was a great evening for all of us. And then we go out to Maine. Everything went really smoothly other than the hockey end of it. I thought it was a good tournament. The icebreaker is a big deal. It's a tournament that moves around all over the country. We lose two games, but I thought we played pretty well most of the weekend. There were some moments there where we maybe let them have more shots than we should have. We failed to score a goal on Hildebrand, a very good goaltender, on Saturday. But I'll tell you what, the last power play of the second period, that's the best I've seen a Laker power play in 10 years, and I've been around for a long time.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of positives. I mean, obviously you come back with a little piece of your heart ripped out because you didn't get the victory, you didn't get the wins, and that's tough. I mean, that was the goal, and we knew it would be a tall task, and you know, it's difficult for sure. And if you reflect back in that first game, you know, what a great start. You know, Gus Coriale goes down, scores a goal with 10 seconds into the game or 11 seconds, whatever it was, call the goal on the ice. You know, and it doesn't matter. It didn't impact the game. I like the response, but they wave it off without video replay. The video wasn't working the first 10 seconds, and they got it going. So I'm not sure how they wave it off without conclusive video evidence. But what the best part about it was, we responded. We didn't get down. We didn't you know, lose momentum. We scored two more goals that period. So just a really good push by our guys. We got in some penalty troubles again in the second period that gave them some life and some momentum. And then we also had the Alex Glabke goal that was called off as well. And, you know, another good play there. But, it was good. It was a good game for us. As you mentioned, I thought we established more grade A's this weekend than, you know, really a lot of last season. So I thought some of that ability to generate some offense really shone through, and that was good for our program. You know, the tournament part of it was great. It felt like an NCAA regional. It felt like a Final Five, a lot of media, a lot of eyes. You know, you're out there practicing, the other teams are watching you. So I thought it was a really healthy environment for our team to be in, and I think that'll make us a better team. New polls came out today. North Dakota's number one. That's going to make us a better team. Going in, playing a very good team, and having a legitimate chance to win that game and feeling like, you know, we should have won that game is very good for us. So those were all positives. And you mentioned that power play against Michigan State. We watched those clips today. We watched our Saturday game this afternoon with the team, and we had two shorthanded breakaways in that game that we didn't convert on either. We had more grade A's on that power play. I think we ended up with 19 grade A scoring chances, 11 on the power play. I mean, I thought the power play was very, very good, but I think, like Doug was saying, that ultimately you've got to find a way to punch one in, whether it's off a rear end or off your head, whatever it is, you've got to find a way to convert one. But I like that we're getting the looks. I like that we're generating some high quality chances, and I think it bodes well for the direction we're trying to move in and you know, where we're at.
Yeah, we got a big series this weekend. It is non-conference. These are not WCHA games. They're conference fillers, which you and Walt Kyle got together and agreed that when you only play twice during the regular season, you would come up with a way to cut your costs by playing that closest rival, and it's going to be Northern Michigan over there Friday night, back here on Saturday. It'll be fun. It's going to be an interesting battle. They're a good team right now. They've surprised people early this season.
Well, you know, I think they're picked to do solid in the standings as well. And, you know, for Walt and I, it wasn't the cost so much as the wear and tear and the travel on our players' bodies. You know, with our league set up the way it is, and some of the travel, the flights, the time changes, and in terms of the time zones, it's a long, grinding, difficult season. I know there's been some coaches, you know, Mike Hastings and Mel Pearson and Bergeron, some of the teams that made that NCAA tournament and the Final Fives, you know, that by the end of it, they just think, you know, in our league in particular, because of our travel, it's a difficult thing. So Walt and I wanted to try to save some wear and tear on the players, you know, sleeping in your own bed an extra night. And we've decided to do that. And they are a good team. You know, they just split, or I guess tied twice with Wisconsin down there. And they're going to be good. We talked to Rick Conley, Coach Conley, a little bit here today. Said it's a little bit different feel of a Northern Michigan team. They're not quite, they don't have the size they used to have. They're a little bit smaller, a little bit faster skating team. And he likes the pieces they have in place. They had a young goalie going and had a great weekend too. And Dahlstrom sitting out there whenever he's healthy and ready to play, he's a phenomenal goalie. So they've got a lot of good pieces over there, and another big challenge.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting weekend. And then we go down to Michigan State, get another crack at the Spartans in 2 weeks on their ice. A little bit of a strange series because it's Thursday and Friday.
Yep, yeah, they've got that home football Saturday, and it'll be a good matchup. You know, I like the matchup with them, and I thought, you know, with again, just some moxie to finish around the net, maybe some experience, some strength, whatever it is. You know, Jake Hildebrand's a big piece of that. But, you know, we had our chances, and that's a game that I thought very easily could have went the other way. And whether it's, you know, I heard Doug talking a little bit about the culture of the Islanders and learning how to win and learning how to finish. You know, that's a little bit of the phase we're at for sure. And so hopefully we can get down there and get a second crack at them and come out on the other end of it.
Well, that leads us into our questions from the fans who are with us tonight, too. We've got a number of questions to hit. We're running out of time here. But overall, are you happy with the freshman performances thus far?
Well, I think both sides. I think some guys certainly played very well and you know, showed us what we thought they could. And some of them, you know, need to take a steps and do some things. No different from our seniors and our juniors. Some of our seniors played very well. Some of the seniors we need more from. So I think it's all over with those guys. But I like the starting point where we're at. I think, you know, Gage Terrell, I know nobody back home really got to see it, but Bill, you were there. I thought Gage Terrell was very, very good all weekend. Dangerous, skilled, skating, very good. Him and Diego played together. They had some good chemistry along with Al Globke. Just talking about the freshman because the question was asked. You know, Mitch Holtz had his first goal. That was good. Jake Kahn showed up on the scoring sheet. He's a big, strong, skilled guy. And, you know, because of the offense and the points, they showed up a little bit more. You know, Josh Nenendahl didn't travel with us. And he's a guy that I think would have fared very well against North Dakota. And he's that type of player that can play a tough, gritty, skating leading game. And so, yeah, we like what we have, and we like the depth in that class and in within our team.
Yeah, it's there's another question here that's kind of on the same line, the specific parts of the games that were played this past weekend. Were there parts that you felt the team did not perform that you might have hoped as well as you might have hoped, and are there parts that you thought you really outdid, you even surprised you?
Well, face-offs were a major disappointment on the weekend. You know, we do have some older guys that, you know, you hope strength-wise and just game-rep-wise that we can do a little bit better job, and it's just not on centermen. It's also on the wingers as well, and then a lot of the young guys have to improve on their face-off intensity to help out on 50-50 pucks. You know, so not only necessarily a clean loss, but a 50-50 puck to win that. But our face-offs need to be cleaned up. Where the percentage is too low, and you know, one of our objectives of our game is not to give up a face-off goal. And we did it Friday, but Saturday we gave up two. So that's got to be much better. You know, power play-wise, we got the one Friday night. Saturday night we didn't get one, but I'm not sure you could generate much more to not get one. I mean, I thought we had some just phenomenal looks. And, you know, if we get that, I think most nights we end up with one or two. So I thought they did a good job. I thought penalty kill was pretty good. We had, two for sure, maybe three shorthanded breakaways where if you get one of them, you know, it's a real big momentum swinger. So, yeah, I mean, there's some good pieces. But, again, you know, offensively, we've just got to find a way to will pucks into the net. You know, we need to play with more desperation around the opposing net and our own net, actually. I mean, both nets, our intensity, our desperation, our heaviness and toughness has to be better in both of those areas.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff. What are some of the new concepts and ideas, and what is what we may have referred to as new style of play? I don't remember that being referred to, but maybe we did. Is there a new style this year that you're employing?
Well, we've made some adjustments to our structure from last year. Part of that, you know, was with the coaching change. You know, I think last year we talked a little bit about it. You know, but we're trying to play. You know, we're getting after it. We forecheck against the majority of teams with two guys very aggressively. Our defensemen, we, you know, not only encourage, we demand they get up in the play. So I think the tempo we play with, the aggressiveness we play with, you know, the feedback I get, the fans enjoy it, and, you know, it's an entertaining game. Now, they also want to see wins, and we hope that this leads to wins, and we think it will. But I guess that'd probably be the new style people are referencing. We changed our D zone a little bit. It's a very similar thing, but we've just made a couple adjustments so it's a little bit easier reads for our players, we believe. Our neutral zone forecheck is new as well. I think that'd be the big areas. Penalty kill has been tweaked, and obviously power play is always depending on your personnel, so there's some adjustments because of the new personnel this season.
Yeah, we've got a question here, too, about stick length. And it talks about one of the players from the under-18s. I think his name is Keegan Summer, something along those lines. He is 6'7 and about 220 pounds. And the question is, can a kid like that who's so tall and so long, can he have a stick that's longer than anybody else's? Are there rules with regards to how long a stick can be?
I know NHL has them. That's a good question for college hockey. I'm not sure. I would guess we'd probably mirror the NHL, and the NCAA does have a stipulation, but I'd have to double-check to be sure. But there is a max limit on stick length, and you know, obviously it's a pretty good advantage. And you know, one of my old teammates just retired a month or so ago. Mike Weaver was a 5'9". Yeah. You probably remember Mike.
Yep.
He was an All-American.
Good,
yeah, very good defenseman. A 5'9" defensive defenseman who played about 11 years in the NHL, and his stick was probably taller than he was, and he had these long arms, just a phenomenal defender. So it really helps. And it's funny how much you know, we'll talk to our players about it. We've got some guys who are maybe more defensive players who have this short little stick that, you know, is more of a stick handling stick, and we try to tell them, like, you know, no, that doesn't work. You need to lengthen that and defend and be good that way first, and
yeah,
vice versa.
I think one of our the converted defenseman who's now a forward, Zach Lesh, I think he shortened the stick. I think his first couple of years here, he used a stick that may be longer, and maybe he's gone back. I don't know. I haven't really talked to him about that, but he had a really long stick, and he was pretty good with it his first couple of years, and I think he kind of shortened that so he could handle things better or something. But that's always interesting whether there is a rule. I don't know that either.
Yeah, I would have to look, but I would be surprised if there wasn't. I would imagine we just mirror the NHL on that, but it might be a little bit reduced because of our level of play as well.
Now, we hit with Doug tonight a little bit about recruiting, because that's a big part of his life. I know, you know, that's one thing that's kind of interesting for me to observe how coaches react to things and how what they do. And these two guys, Rich Metro and Doug Holliva, they spend an awful lot of time when we're on a road trip looking at the video laptop of junior players from various places. That's so easy to do now. I think it's a lot easier than it was 5 years ago even. And the other thing is they're on the phone all the time. And my question to you on that would be, you know, Doug hinted that there isn't a tremendous amount we need for like next year, so we're maybe working on futures at this point.
No, yeah, that's exactly right. I think if you look at, and part of that is our current team composition. You know better than me, Bill. I think we have what 18 freshmen, sophomores. So yeah. You know, we don't lose much. We don't have a lot of room, and the way every team is now, there's these commitment lists that sometimes it's more shuffling, you know, who's coming in what year and when they're coming in versus going to find new bodies. You know, one of our committed guys is having a tremendous start to the year, so now you start thinking, well, maybe he is coming next year when you maybe originally planned 2 years out. So it's always moving, and, you know, and who knows what might happen with us. Somebody has this great year, you know, and they sign early as well. So now you have a hole that you didn't anticipate because he's only, you know, he's a not a senior, or maybe a sophomore has a great year. So it's always moving. But like you said, those guys are always working, and the technology is nice. This fast hockey, you know, we'll download 5-6 games to take on the road. And I remarked on the way down, it was nice to have a long bus trip. You could just watch video, make phone calls, talk to kids, advisors, and really get a lot of work done without some of the distractions of the office. So it's a good way to catch up on some things and stay on top of a busy recruiting period.
I'd say lines of communication are really good between you and your assistants, and then between all three of you and the players on this team too. Just observing what's going on, you know, watching how you talk to some of these guys, and you'll sit down with somebody and right on the bus even and show them film and talk to them a little bit about things they did right, things they maybe need to work on. That's coaching.
Yeah, and I communication is obviously huge, you know, in terms of leadership. I think that's good. You know, I heard Doug mention that, you know, they've got input in everything. You know, he mentioned the buy-in, and they, you know, the more you give them, I think the more buy-in, the more dedicated. So they're very involved in everything we do in this program, and that's the kind of people I want. I think that's important. They do a very good job, and they've earned it, and you know, they deserve it. Same thing with players. You know, coming in a year or two ago, that was a major concern they had really everywhere. And today's student athletes, today's kids, you know, they want to know why, they want to know how, and you've got to communicate with them. So I think it's important. You know, probably the tough ones are every road trip when guys who don't travel, we try to grab every single guy individually and let them know why and what they need to work on. You know, it gets tough, and for some of them, you know, the message doesn't change a whole lot. But you know, it's important to me that we give everybody the attention they deserve. These kids work, you know, unbelievably hard, no matter what the role is on the team, just to be a part of it. It's such a tremendous obligation and commitment. So I think that's the least we could do. And you know, same thing traveling home. It's nice, the long bus ride after Detroit, you can grab 2, 3, 4 kids and watch some video and their clips, and they get immediate feedback from what we're seeing and what we're asking them to do. And, you know, some of it's very good. Hey, great, great, great. And some of it's, you know, we need more, we need better. So it's a nice way to spend more time with them. Once you're here, you're always scrambling. You know, they got to go to class. They've got to go to a group. You know, they've got to see the trainer. So you never seem to have enough time. And it'd be interesting to ask Doug that in another 2-3 months, coming from pro hockey where there's, you know, there's not as many distractions and other things. You know, this it'd be interesting to see his thoughts on it and how he's adjusting to that, because I know we're always kind of looking for more time to squeeze some things in.
Yeah, we'll do that. And speaking of time and squeezing things in, we're out of time. I got another page of notes here we could talk about that we could go all night sometimes. We can't do that. We got to get out of here. And we appreciate the fans who joined us here tonight. Carl Mason for being here to engineer for us and keep us on the air. And Frank Blissett back at the radio station. Damon, thank you. I know you're busy with some other stuff today, but thanks for being here. And Doug Holova and Austin McKay, great job here tonight. We'll be back your way with another Laker hockey show next Monday at 6. Don't forget our Laker Talk program on ESPN 1400 about 8:30, right? 8:35 maybe on Wednesday mornings right here on ESPN 1400.